Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you as always by the Keystone Sports Network, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith here. Our substitute, our super sub, Andrew Pichet, is in. You can hear him a little later in the week, usually, on the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's here right now. Greg Pickle is celebrating the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl win.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And we Andy was gracious enough to give Greg a wide berth to celebrate that. We will be talking about the Super Bowl in a little bit. We have to talk about the Super Bowl in a little bit.
I think we have to. Good for Greg. I mean, he made a preemptive strike and asked me, you know, huge Eagles fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's early. It's Monday. And the game was going to be late, just in case. And I'm like, yeah, you might want to just in case. So I was like, yeah, I'll send it for you. I'm not an Eagles fan. I mean, I'm going to watch the game, but he's a lifelong Eagles fan.
Yeah.
And yeah, Greg was in.
As you're watching the carnage in downtown Philadelphia, just keep an eye out for Greg. He might be there. I don't know. We're going to talk some Penn State news, the latest news of the day. Really, it's forward-looking now with National Signing Day coming up in, you know, 48 hours, less than 48 hours. We'll talk about the two guys who are going to be announcing who are the top targets left on Penn State's board. We'll also recap Junior Day a little bit at Penn State. Talk some Penn State wrestling, another huge moment there. Penn State beats Ohio State. Brandon Pelter will join us later. And Penn State basketball, we'll wrap up the show with that. Jeff Brown will join us. Those Lions are kind of on a roll, too. So it's all coming up roses on this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Will it continue? Rasheed Walker is the big name to circle. He's going to announce on National Signing Day. His recruitment, Andy, it was a little bit of a winding road to this point where it looked like a slam dunk, and then it went cold. Then it looked like maybe a slam dunk again. Ohio State really started to push late here, and it's a two-school race. One of the big things left was who was going to get the last FaceTime with him. That was James Franklin got the last FaceTime with it. Will it matter?
Here's the thing. It's a 50-50 proposition all the way. Do you feel the same way I do? It's not a necessarily huge need. Penn State doesn't need this to solidify this recruiting class, where its recruiting is going, general big picture. To me, this feels like a cherry on top of the yummy frosted cupcake. And if they land him, then it's even better for Penn State. But I think it's a 50-50 proposition all the way. Yeah. But James Franklin getting the last look, the last FaceTime. Come on. This is James' wheelhouse. Do you give James a better opportunity if he gets the next to last look or the last look with a guy in person? I give James a better chance if he gives the last look, so I'll swing it 60-40 Penn State. But it's still an up-in-the-air proposition.
Sure.
Ohio State came hard, like ridiculously hard, the likes of which tells me, I don't know what it tells you, Vinny, but it tells me that James is approaching the Ohio State annoyance zone. Like Ohio State came in and wanted this guy and they could not pry him away totally and say, okay, I'm flipping to Penn State. In other words, Penn State flexes muscle in the Penn State versus Ohio State. This is one of those real first kind of showdowns. The Micah Parsons went sideways for different reasons. This one's across the board showdown. Who's going to win it? And I think just Penn State being in that arena in that square in the recruiting circles for James tells me something about where Penn State's recruiting is at in 18 and 19.
I think that's fair. I think Penn State had a good head start and a deeper relationship. But if Ohio State wants a guy,
correct,
and they come hard for a guy, and they can pitch early playing time to a guy on a team that will probably push for a national championship at some point, it is hard to push back on that. And so the fact that Walker hasn't flipped already is a testament to Penn State. Getting the last word is a big deal here, I think. I think James Franklin, one last reminder to Rasheed Walker. These are all the reasons that you love the school in the first place. Mom and dad, these are all the reasons that he's going to be well taken care of here. He's going to be closer here, all that stuff. I would say, you know, for me, Rasheed Walker is a little more than a cherry on top guy because his college readiness is what differentiates him from a guy like Nana Sidhu, for example. Correct. Steve Wilfong was on here last week from 24/7 Sports and was saying the same exact thing, that, you know, Sidhu has a super high ceiling, but there's a lot more variables in his path towards college stardom than Rasheed Walker. 6'6", 300 right now. Penn State has not exactly strung together a long line of college-ready, high-upside offensive tackles, and Rasheed Walker, in that light, would be super important. So I think it's a big deal to finish the deal here and get Rasheed Walker on campus.
We can agree to disagree, because I don't – the only reason I don't necessarily disagree with you, but the only reason I don't see it is this isn't a watershed recruit for Penn State. This isn't a guy they're chasing at the second part of this new signing day. It's not a guy – it's a guy they want, but is it a guy they really, really desperately need?
I don't think they really desperately need anybody. And so
I think they desperately needed Micah Parsons. I really do, on about nine fronts, not just because of the football player he is. Pennsylvania, backyard, you know, top five in the country. Just even if for some unforeseen reason Micah doesn't pan out as a great football player, the recruiting win is what stands out to me on that. But, I mean, look, the guy could probably play in 12 months and be effective in 12 months. In other words, just not get some time, but I mean be an effective offensive lineman in 12 months. But it's not a huge – they have other options, and I see more – less of a need than a want, but I don't completely disagree with you.
I think Solomon Enos, who's the other target on the board as a wide receiver, where they're just loaded at wide receiver – Solomon Enos from Arizona. There's a West Coast skew, and there's a little bit of a trend here for Utah in late until he decides. He strikes me as more of a luxury item than anything because of how stocked they are. And even in this class, Jahan Dotson, Justin Shorter, and Daniel George, that's a pretty good diverse group of three wide receivers, and I know that you can probably never have too many, but Penn State is really teetering on that line of maybe having too many. And Enos, I think, was a must take because they really like him, they really believe in him, he's a Penn State legacy and all that stuff. I think in the end here, Penn State does not get Solomon Enos, and I don't think they're all that worse off because of it. Yeah, you miss out on a four-star, but I'm just not convinced you need a wide receiver that badly.
I think their cupboard's already full, and I'm not sure this wasn't just the first, and I don't think it'll be a long trail of the Josh Gattis, sort of that last second move that he made to Alabama, which when Nick comes calling, you can't say no. But I don't think Penn State was, and James Franklin, you know, he's always got the moves and he's always ready. I don't think they were quite ready for this one, but he adjusted, James Franklin, I'm saying, adjusted really well. But this is the sort of Josh Gattis, the player development guy, the way he builds, you know, guys that he recruits and turns them into better receivers. I'm not sure Solomon sees that anymore. That's why I think
It's an unknown.
That's exactly right.
It's not a knock against the new little coach. It's just you don't know for sure. And especially if that guy is the one that you've had maybe the closest relationship with. Maybe that's enough. Here's an interesting thing here. By the way, it's the Keystone Kickoff Show. That's Andrew Pichet. He's here on Monday, which is a great treat for everyone, myself included, talking some Penn State recruiting. And Junior Day was this past weekend, and there's not a whole lot. There are new offers and all that stuff, and there might have been some new crystal ball picks, but there's not news. There's no new commitments or anything. But I wanted to frame it in this context. Mike Gross from Lancaster Online just posed a question about Penn State being off to a slow start in the 2019 class, two commitments so far. Are they off to a slow start? Is the coaching staff transition, is there such a thing as a slow start? Because a 12-month cycle, you're going to have peaks and valleys in terms of activity all the time. To not get a slew of commitments on Junior Day, I don't really categorize it as a slow start. What do you think?
No. That would be capital N, capital O. No, first of all, there was transition for James's coaching staff and how they recruit and how he sets all of that up, right? There was some immediate transition. Second of all, James has been recruiting on a 12-month cycle for the last two classes. And you remember when he came out in his 2016 class, and it was like gangbusters. Remember that? Then there was – last year was just a slow burn. Remember last year was just a slow burn and build. And I think that's the way James does it. He is a slow burn, just constant, consistent technique process. Boom, boom. He has a process. Yeah. And I just think he doesn't run to the hills, and he doesn't run in peaks and valleys. I think he is a slow burn kind of the way he builds this recruiting. It is a 12-month thing to him. I think he was a little bit of a step ahead of everybody else, even though you couldn't really tangibly see that if you look back. Think about it. Look back at the 17 and 18 classes, right? How he built those. That was a 12-month slow burn cycle. He's had to reshape his coaching staff a little bit and put some other pieces in place. But I don't see it as a slow start at all. And I don't think James knows the word slow and recruiting, because I just don't think he sees it as a faster slow proposition. I think he sees it as it's not a sprint. It's a marathon to him.
I also don't think that commitments is the best gauge for how quickly, how effectively you're recruiting. It's not a real good indicator, because this 18 class has pretty much been locked up and airtight, certainly since the end of December when the initial group signed, but really well before that. I think they were on stable ground all the way and were able to forward look a little bit more to 19. The fact they don't have commitments isn't that big of a deal.
Nope.
The other thing is, I'm curious to see how spring official visits shape how commitments work, because if maybe in a sense it's why commit in February when you can come take a look at it in April, you can travel on the school's dime, you can make certain for sure that this is where you want to be. Maybe that changes things, because Mike Corman, our good friend from statecollege.com, had a piece of Q&A with Andy Frank, who said that blue white is going to take on even more meaning as a recruiting event now.
It's all about, when can James get you in the lion's den? I mean, let's just say it what it is. When James gets you in his backyard in the lion's den and you come to State College, you're on his turf now, and that's where he is at his absolute 100% very best. He's still very good outside of that, but there just something happens, and we've seen it time and time again. When he gets you in his backyard in the lion's den, that's his turf, and he's very, very good across the board. He's especially impactful as a recruiter on his own turf. And I think that's why the spring is really important. If he comes out with a low commit number, say less than 2 or 3, and say you're heading into June, then you might want to say it might be a slow start.
I think a slow start will give way to a big burst of momentum at some point in time. I think that point in time will be that March, April, May stretch that Penn State will have forgotten any talk about a slow start then.
It's who he's got on the board too.
All right, we're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Super Bowl 52, we're going to break down the Eagles title coming up right after this. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.